What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is Barron's Live. Each weekday, we bring you live conversations from our newsrooms about what's moving the market right now. On this podcast, we take you inside those conversations, the stories, the ideas, and the stocks to watch so you can invest smarter. Now, let's dial in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Barron's Live Market Watch Edition. I'm Alessandra Melito, the retirement reporter at Market Watch, and I'm pleased to welcome Diane Wilson, financial advisor and founding partner of My Social Security Analyst. Welcome, Diane, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. I enjoy doing these, and thank you for the invitation to talk about my favorite subject, Social Security.
Absolutely. So I cannot tell you how often readers ask me questions about Social Security, and you probably know because I reach out to you every once in a while, and I'm like, I have a question. Can you help me?
Yes.
So given how hot of a topic Social Security is, let's dive right in. I have my first question for you. I would like to start with the basics. What factors should individuals consider before claiming, and how are Social Security benefits even calculated?
I think that some of the factors that individuals should consider is, number one, are you still working? And if you're still working, is it a good idea to claim your benefits? Another thing that I don't think a lot of retirees think about is not only the monthly benefits, so how much you receive every month, but what is the cumulative lifetime benefits for this claiming? And so for especially a married couple, a 25-year retirement, they can be looking at $1 million. Or if they both claim early, they could be looking at $700,000 or $750,000. So we need to look at the total lifetime cumulative benefits in this retirement asset.
Absolutely. And so Social Security, I mean, there's so many different components too, as far as, like you mentioned, the total benefit that you could be getting. But what about earnings or health or life expectancy? Should people ever take those into consideration?
Yes, they should. And if you have a health diagnosis that lowers your life expectancy and you're single, maybe it's okay that you take your benefits early and take that reduction in amount because you don't anticipate living as long. Or your wage income, it stops and you need cash flow. That's a decision that's kind of made for you. You don't really get to plan around that. And there's different options if you're married or say you're widowed. And so depending on your situation, we can look at rules and different ways whether it's beneficial to claim early or later, or, you know, just taking a look at it and doing your homework.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have, at Market Watch, we have a column called Help Me Retire. And sometimes people ask questions just about Social Security and they give me their earnings history and they tell me, you know, their goals or how old they are. And the question always comes down to, well, what do I do about Social Security? So I know that there are no right answers with when to claim, but are there any typical times, and you've also mentioned this a little bit just before, but are there any typical times when somebody should go for the early claiming at 62 or maybe delay it until 70?
I think that for an example, a widow, if your benefit at age 70 is not higher than your widow's benefit at full retirement age, go ahead, if you're not working because there's the wage offset, but go ahead and take yours at 62 and then transfer to the widow's benefit at your full retirement age. So you can think of it as your benefit goes away and you receive a widow's benefit. So get as much of yours as you can before you transfer to that other benefit. So that's a very good reason to take yours at 62. Another one might be if you need cash flow and maybe the lower earning spouse takes their benefit at 62, which might enable the higher earning spouse who has that higher benefit to delay to age 70 to get that higher benefit. And if someone takes theirs at 62 for cash flow, then when they turn full retirement age, they can suspend that benefit and earn delayed retirement credits of 8% more per year on that amount up until age 70. So for an example, a married couple that needs cash flow, say the age 62 spouse takes theirs because their benefit is lower, takes it until full retirement age, where the higher earning spouse now is 70. So the age 70 benefits start. The person that took theirs at 62 can suspend, earn delayed retirement credits, and then resume at 70. Wonderful planning options for married couples, especially.
That is amazing. I mean, there are just so many different strategies and ways to look at it. A common question that I get often is about couples and claiming Social Security, or widows claiming Social Security. They're not quite sure what they're entitled to. Is it, you know, their benefit? Is it their spouse's benefit? Or, you know, in some cases, it's divorcees. Could you share a few tips and facts about how to make sense, or like where to even start if you're overwhelmed by all the choices?
One of the options is to get professional help, be someone that knows Social Security that can help guide you. And with spousal benefits, a spousal benefit, you're only entitled to a spousal benefit if half of the spouse or the ex-spouse's benefit at full retirement age, so they would take half of that. If your benefit at full retirement age is less than half of the other spouse's benefit, are you entitled to any spousal benefit? And there used to be a law that they changed in 2016 where you could not take yours and take your spousal benefits only and receive that half of his amount or her amount. That law has been, they took that away. So the only way you can receive a spousal benefit is if you have a low Social Security, basically. For widows, it goes back to, do you take yours early and take the survivor at full retirement age, or do you take yours? You can take or the widow's benefit, you can take that benefit as early as age 60. It's reduced for taking it early, but you can take that widow's benefit at age 60, and then when you become age 70, start your own retirement benefit, and you'll get all those delayed retirement credits. So you could, you know, from 60 to 70, you can get one benefit and then switch to another, yours, if it's higher. But you would want to look at those different amounts and whether it's best to do that or just go ahead and take your own at 62. That's where some really good planning can come in for clients to make sure they make the best decision.
And so, of course, working with a financial planner or an advisor or somebody who's very well versed in Social Security could help. But are there any ways that people can even figure out these numbers beforehand, you know, such as maybe making an account on Social Security's website or something like that?
Well, they almost need software. They would have to go out into the market and look at software. There's a lot of good software out there that will help you, you know, determine what you get in different claiming times. You have to know how to use the software, so you almost have to know some of the rules. It's mm-hmm. like driving a car. You can't just get in and drive. You got to learn how to drive. And so the software is really good as a guide, but you almost have to know, you know, the rules of, like, a lot of clients don't know they can take a widow's benefit as early as they age 60. And so, but their own as early as age 62. So there's different rules that apply to different situations. And most, individuals don't know those different rules. They've read some things and listened to podcasts like this. And a lot of clients will tell me they come away more confused than when they started reading or started listening. So it can be very complex. But I'd say software, look into, there's some free software tools. There's some that you pay for. The software tool that I use for planning with my clients, I really like. It's a very good package, but you almost have to go through the learning curve to learn how to use that software. So that's what makes it a little more difficult for those out there planning.
Yeah, there are, it feels like a million rules. I know it's not actually a million, but it feels like a million rules when I look at everything. I am going to take a moment just here to remind the audience that you can submit questions and we will get to those at the end of the segment. All right, so getting back to my list of questions. I hear this all the time from people of all ages, not just those who are in their 20s. Will Social Security be there for me? Because I don't think it will. What do you think about that? You know, can people, whether they're 20, 30, 40, 50, could they expect some sort of Social Security in their future?
I'm very hopeful. I think Social Security is one of the most popular social programs. It does give many retirees a foundation of income in retirement. And so it's amazing how many retirees depend on Social Security. And I think that will hold true in the future. I'm hopeful that it will be there. They are telling younger clients to maybe not plan on it and save just in case. But I'm hopeful. I think it's a really good social program. Maybe it will change and not be the way it is today. Maybe they'll take some benefits away, like children's benefits. I don't know how what the future holds in as far as Social Security. It's all in our elected officials and what they determine to do with it and how it gets funded. I work in it, so I'm particular to it. But I do think that it sure helps a lot of retirees have that foundation of income, because once you become a certain age, you're not going to have wage income anymore. You need cash coming into your household for basic expenses. And a lot of individuals aren't able to save, enough to provide that, and that's where Social Security comes in. Well, if we don't have Social Security, and for those on, who have no savings and have no income, we have to support them in some manner. So it comes out of maybe the general tax revenues. So they're going to be helped, whether it's through Social Security or some kind of supplemental benefit through general tax revenues. And because of that, I think that our elected officials will focus on, funding Social Security. And when we get, past this pandemic and everybody starts working again and paying those taxes, it's hopeful that that trust fund will get shored up.
Yeah. Every expert in this field that I've talked to, they've always said what you've said, that it's okay to save without thinking about Social Security as an option in the future, but Congress had never let it fail before. So to keep that in mind,
right.
What would you say what would you say is a little known fact about Social Security that you find Americans are often surprised to hear about?
I think that one of the facts are a lot of spouses think, I can take my benefit at 62, and then when I become full retirement age, transfer to my spousal benefit. But that's not true. They can't do that. They have to take their own. And then if their own is half of what their spouse's is at full retirement age, they will receive additional benefits from that other record added to their own. So there's no transfer to spousal benefits anymore. And a lot of people don't know that. They still think they can do that. the clients I talk to, it's like, well, I'm going to take mine and transfer to his at full retirement age. And that's really it's not available. So when you take yours at 62, your benefit is reduced for taking it early. And then at full retirement age, say your spouse files and now you're entitled to additional benefits, they will add those on. They try to bring the combination of your benefit plus those add-on benefits up to one half of that spouse's benefit. But if you take yours early, that portion is reduced for taking it early. So you're not going to have one half of the other spouse's benefit. So a lot of people are really surprised to hear that.
That's really interesting.
Another thing that I don't think people or retirees think about, in my mind, Social Security is a wonderful retirement asset, especially if you delay to 70 to get those delayed retirement credits. But I believe that Social Security has an insurance component to it, because the survivor of a married couple receives the higher of the two benefits. So if one spouse waits to 70 to earn delayed retirement credits, and for, let's see, the maximum amount this year, if you were 70 this year is or 66 this year is 3148. So when you delay and you get delayed retirement credits, whoever happens to be the survivor will receive that higher amount. So that's like an insurance component.
Wow, I don't think that many people know about that. That's a good tip right there. Yeah. And are there any myths or misconceptions around Social Security that you often hear about? I know you mentioned one just now, but any others that you could think of?
I think the biggest one is it's going to run out of money. So I want to take it while I can and not plan around taking that benefit. Just go ahead and take it. And another one that I think is important too is a lot of individuals I talk to think they're worried and they say, well, if I take it, and I mess up, it's forever. Well, that's not true, because if you take your benefit, everyone gets an opportunity to do a do-over if they do it within the first 12 months. So if you file for your benefit, say you're 62 and you file and you think, I shouldn't have done that, you can reverse that. You can fill out what's called the withdrawal of application. You can, they'll bill you if you received any benefits, you have to return them, and then they'll close your account as if it was never opened. Now you have to do that within 12 months. So everyone gets one opportunity to make a mistake and correct that mistake within 12 months.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's something else that I don't think a lot of people know about, because we always hear all the time, you have to take this decision very seriously because, it's pretty official. Let's see. So we've talked a little bit about this before. Some advisors will suggest that younger clients maybe plan as though they're not getting any Social Security just in case. But how do you think people should plan for their retirements, and where does Social Security fit into those plans, or how should Social Security fit into those plans?
I think one of the things that we need to look at as retirees is, once you stop working and you don't have that wage income coming into your household anymore, what becomes king is cash, so monthly cash flow. So we want to look at our monthly cash flow in retirement. So what of our expenses, our fixed expenses, our variable expenses, and some of the things we'd like to do, like travel, and where is that cash going to come into our household every month? What sources are we going to have? Now, one of the source, it's a guaranteed source right now, is Social Security. So Social Security can be used. You can look at that to meet, your fixed expenses. And then the additional expenses that you have monthly, find out where you're going to receive those sources of income. And maybe you wait till 70 to take Social Security to get that higher benefit. So you need less cash later on, like maybe out of your investment assets or your 401k. So cash is king in retirement. Monthly cash flow, that's what we need to look at. That's going to sustain us for our remaining life expectancy once we retire. Another thing I think we need to look at, especially concerning Social Security, is, you know, what's our lifetime benefit? What's this retirement asset worth today? If we were to buy an annuity out in the market and purchase this cash flow that Social Security provides, what would we have to pay to buy that future annuity? And it could be $800,000, $1 million. So look at Social Security as a retirement asset and a monthly cash flow. So kind of looking at it both ways like that can really help drive clients to make a very informed decision about their retirement. And when we make informed decisions, we tend to have better wealth outcomes. And those that have better wealth outcomes are happier. So it's not so much the quantitative, the money, the cash flow, it's quality of life too. So we want to weigh those two factors together because when we retire on the early end of retirement, we're young and we want to do things. And so we want the cash flow to do those things before we age and get into where we're not doing much anymore. So I think it's important for clients to weigh both of those. You know, what kind of retirement do you want to have? And then what's the cash flow that's going to fund that retirement? So both sides are very important.
Absolutely. And is there one actionable piece of advice that you think anybody of any age can do right now to help themselves and perhaps their future Social Security?
I think if continuing to work, a lot of individuals want to quit work. They're tired of working. They want to quit work. And I think that is, you know, continuing to work, make sure you have 35 years of wages. Social Security will look at your top 35 years of wages. And if you have just 30 years, they're going to use 5 years of zeros when they go into their complex formula to calculate what you're entitled to receive. And if you cannot have zero wages and you have actual 35 years of wages, it's going to be very beneficial.
That's really helpful. Perfect. So we are going to start taking some listener questions now. The first one is, if you receive a severance payment, does it count as income for Social Security? And how should I, you know, figure this out when it comes time to file?
If you receive income sources that are not Social Security taxed, so that would be W-2 income and 1099 business income. They only look at income from wages as far as, you know, like an offset for Social Security. Now, for the tax side, they look at your modified adjusted gross income. So basically income from all sources. So it depends on what they were, you know, wanting to look at, whether taking Social Security early and having a wage offset or just the taxability of it.
And that that modified adjusted gross income, that includes, I think you just said it, but all income, right, including pensions or interest, things like that. Does it include all of it?
So modified adjusted gross income does include pension income, annuity income, rental income, if you have a housing that you rent, just, you know, taxable income.
Perfect. And taxes seems to be on the tops of minds for our listeners. Another person asked, I retired last year and I'm taking Social Security. Will it be taxed?
It's possible. It depends on the how they file. So are they filing married, filing jointly, or single? And there is three brackets on whether your Social Security is taxed at all and how much of it is taxed. And the top bracket for married filing jointly, if your adjusted gross income, modified adjusted gross income is greater than $44,000 a year, then 85% of your Social Security benefits will be added into your taxable income to be taxed at your tax rate.
And another question around taxes, what percent, I think you already mentioned this, but what percent of Social Security benefits should I have taxed so there won't be any surprises on tax day? I'm 67 years old and still fully employed. That might be more of a question along the lines of also, if you are still fully employed, should you be even claiming Social Security yet?
Right. That's a very good question, because there are a couple factors. And one is, you know, Social Security, if you have to add 85% of that benefit into your taxable income, is it going to put you into a higher tax bracket? And another very important feature about, you know, working and being that age and taking Social Security is, if there's something called an it's an IRMAA, it's a Medicare adjustment. And so if you're working and you're taking Social Security, it can provide higher Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D premiums. So you got to be careful about Medicare also. So not only taxes, there's Medicare to think about. And so if you're going to, you can pay higher Medicare premiums, and that's for each of you, for both spouses. And so if you end up paying, you know, an extra $200 a month on Medicare Part B and D for husband and wife, maybe it doesn't make sense to take that Social Security and work.
Definitely.
Income-related monthly adjustment amount. Sorry, that's what it's called.
Thank you. And I guess the last question we'll take for now is, where can I even find my benefits, or where can I find more information about what I should expect from Social Security? Is that possible?
Yes, it is. You can create what's called a Social Security My Account. And so you would go to www.ssa.gov. So that's gov/myaccount. And set up your Social Security My Account. I recommend that everyone set one up. You can, within that account, you can download your statement. You can review your wage history to make sure everything's okay. If you're taking Social Security, you can change your address there. You can change your bank account there. So you can manage your life with Social Security through your My Account. And then if you move, you don't have to call and, you know, wait online to talk to someone to change your address. You can just do that within your My Account. And download your statement. Keep an eye on your wage history through time. Make sure everything's posted correctly.
Yeah, that's probably good, just to make sure that, you know, all the information is correct. Nobody's ever tried to hack into your identity or anything like that too, right?
That is very important, because if you set up your Social Security My Account, someone else can't try to set one up in your name because you've already set it up. Good question. That's good.
Thanks. Well, unfortunately, that is all of the time that we have for today, but you know that I love to talk about Social Security, and I will probably be calling you soon to ask more questions.
Thank you
so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I enjoyed our session today.
Me too. So for our listeners, we hope that you enjoyed this particular segment, and that you listen into tomorrow's episode. Barron's Senior Managing Editor Lauren Rublin and Associate Editor Eric Savitz will discuss the outlook for tech companies and individual stocks. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you stay healthy and you have a great day.
Thank you.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.